Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to another podcast from the 12 Tribes of Israel Congregation. I'm your brother, and to reach us, you could contact us on our toll-free number, which is 888-447-1695, or you could email us at scribe@risers.com. If you want more information, such as our newsletters, more podcast lessons, or to read the breakdowns or reports that are on our website, or just location information, you could find it at 12t.co, which is the number 12t.co, or risers.com. Again, thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening. And as we are coming back to you, we want to remind you about the last class, which was dealing with wicked holidays. It was called A Snowy Day. In that class, we spoke about how our people believe that certain days that they're celebrating are biblical. But when you go into the Bible, not only does it speak against it, but the Bible proves that what they're celebrating did not come from Christ, did not come from the Heavenly Father, but that it actually comes from pagan origins, the worship of false gods, the worship of Satan. And there's some days that they obviously celebrate that they know that is not in the Bible, like Halloween. Yet our people still celebrate it, and it shouldn't be hard to see that that day deals with the devil. That's the worship of the devil, like literally dealing with witches and dress up like satanic figures. When you confront our people about the fact that they are observing days that are not good at all, a lot of times they have these sayings and these proverbs. When I say proverbs, I'm not talking about the book of Proverbs, because it would be good if they came with sayings from the book of Proverbs. No, but it's sayings that they make up. And it's just like the ancient Israelites of old, because that's who you are. You are the children of Israel. You still got the same wicked spirit as our forefathers back then. They make up these sayings, these proverbs, against the Heavenly Father, thinking that they're going to circumvent or gainsay the Most High. But in the scriptures, we see time and time again where those that try to speak evil against the commandments of the Heavenly Father, or that they think they're so smart that they're going to say something that just diminishes the words of God, they end up being destroyed or proven wrong or made to look like a fool. Last time when we were speaking, we said how our people don't realize the financial repercussions that they're having on themselves. And the sayings that they like to say when you are speaking to them about these wicked holidays is that they're doing it for the children. Now, that's the wrong reason to say that, because you should realize what's coming out of your mouth. If you're saying that you're doing it for the children, then you obviously should come back to the commandments. You should obviously put on the good habits that are found in the scriptures, not only for financial reasons, but because your children, you are affecting them. Think about it. You're saying, oh, it's for the children. I know it's pagan because I've heard about it. You know, I've seen in the History Channel. Oh, I know that that day has satanic roots, but we're not doing it like that no more. We're doing it for the children. We just want the children not to miss out. We want to give them gifts. We want to make sure they get some candy and things like that. It's for the children, brother. We're not doing it for that. You know, we're doing it because, you know, I want them to see their family members when they come together. No. Let's get rid of all those things out of your mouth, because you know what? If you realize what you're saying, that you're saying is for the children, you're not realizing that you're saying that basically you're going to teach your children a lie. You're going to teach them traditions that are destructive, not only to them individually, but also to the community. And why I say that, because when we get into the scriptures, we're going to see that the effects is that you end up being cursed. And the people that made this into a tradition for you to keep, for you to continue in debt, for you to continue in captivity, they want you to make it for the children. They want you to pass this down to your children. They want to affect your household without having to whip your back. They want you to continue oppressing yourself and making yourself to be in the condition that you're in of poverty. So you have to realize that. So when you're saying it's for the children, what you're saying, lies are for the children. What you're saying is you're teaching your children that not to honor you, not to look at you as the provider, but to look at an imaginary person, you know, that looks like their oppressors as their provider. Then on top of that, you're teaching your children that really they have no culture of their own. There's no community for them, that they shouldn't be built up where they have wealth being passed down from generation to generation. Instead, what you're going to pass down to them is debt to the next generation, debt to the next generation, debt to the next generation. Stay in debt. Because I know a lot of you brothers and sisters that are listening, if you were celebrating these wicked holidays, your pockets are hurting right now. You know what I'm saying? You're starting what you believe is a new year in January, which is not the new year. And you look at your bank accounts, you look at what bills are coming in now. You're like, oh my God, you know, I don't know how I'm gonna get out of this hole. And then you're like, oh man, thank God that income tax is coming. So you're like, oh, I'm gonna get out of it by income tax. Or maybe you planned to spend such amount because you plan to get income tax return back. And not only are you, you know, looking at your past bills, but now you're looking towards February and you're seeing that another wicked holiday is coming, which you feel compelled to celebrate, that has really nothing to do with love. Because if we learn the scriptures, you will learn how to build wealth. You will learn what love is. You will learn how to be blessed instead of cursed. So let's begin by, first of all, showing through the scriptures that you got to be careful what you say. You gotta think before you speak. Like, think about what you're really saying. Stop having these sayings when those sayings are not justifying you, when they are actually condemning you and showing that the effect that you're really having in life. Yes, you're saying this for the children. That's the reason why you need to stop, because it's not for the children. What's for the children is the commandments. What's for the children is wisdom, blessings. Don't bring them down with you. So in the book of Proverbs, right, since they like having Proverbs, let's start with a new proverb. Proverbs 11, verse 11, it says, by the blessing of the upright. Who gets blessing? The upright, the righteous. See, an upright person, they will tell you up front what you're dealing with. Here it is that those days that you're celebrating, they're not up front. They're not upright. They're disguised. They are hidden. The origins, you have to research. You have to find out what is the purpose and the meaning about these days. It's not an upright thing. So the blessing of the upright, the blessing of those that keep the commandments, they end up having what? The city exalted. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. So as individuals, you want to, of course, be blessed. But don't you want your people as well to be blessed with you? Those of your community, those that are of your race, those that are of your flesh and bones, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. Don't you want your children to be a city of righteous people? Because don't you know that one generation, two generations, three generations, four generations, that's a lot of people coming later on from your DNA, from your flesh and bones. Don't you want them to be exalted, meaning held up high in regard? Like, look at the other nations. Let's look at the fake Jews. They own buildings. They're your landlords. They have businesses. They have wealth that is passed down from generation to generation. Why? Because they follow the scriptures when it comes to how to deal financially. They follow some of our customs and imitate it. Even though they don't do it correctly, they actually are setting up their children for success while we're setting up our children for failure. That's why the next part of the verse says, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. So what you're doing is overthrowing what could be our situation. Because if you want proof that what the Most High says works, look at the oppressor. He follows our commandments, Not even fully. They do it wrong, and guess what? It's working for them. And you are the people that wrote these scriptures. You are the true children of Israel, you so-called blasting Hispanics and Native Americans. So you should be the ones actually following these laws. Not how they do fake, with no spirit to guide them, without God's guidance. And yet you make these sayings that overthrow the prosperity of your own people. Let's go from there to chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, and let's start at verse 11. Proverbs 22 verse 11 says, "He that loveth pureness of heart." So if your heart was pure, if you love things that are pure, that are good and holy, "for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend." See that? If you was about pureness, if you was about things that are good, your King Christ will be your friend, because what comes out of your lips is not to destroy. It will be for us to have grace, for us to have mercy, for us to have blessing, for us to be built up as a people and as a nation. Because it has to start with you as an individual, then with your household, then with those who you surround yourself with. If you all follow the commandments of the Most High and deal only with what is true and what is pure, then Christ will be your friend. And what will happen if he's your friend? Not only are you going to get spiritual mercy and grace, but even in things outside of the scriptures, like money and finances, you will be blessed with those things as well. Verse 12 says, "The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge." When you look at the scriptures, you can always go back to them and get knowledge and see that what the Heavenly Father said was true. Be like, "Oh man, you know what? I didn't realize that was in the Bible." Like, a lot of times people don't realize that they're the ones causing their financial destruction. They're the ones that are causing their poverty. They're the ones that are stopping themselves from being prosperous. They don't realize that. So when a person reveals to them a few scriptures, they'll see that, "Oh man, that's so true. Wow, I didn't know that's in the Bible." That's what ends up happening. That they see that the eyes of the Lord, what the Most High sees, is not what we see. He sees things that are according to knowledge. He sees what effects it has in the long run, the end result. Because sometimes our people are short-sighted. They don't see the end result. You're talking about your kids having gifts on a day that everybody says to have them, but you're not realizing the end result. You're not looking at the effect it's having. You're not seeing that, first of all, your child is taking on a culture that is not his. Then you don't get credit for the gifts he receives because you're telling him about some Santa Claus guy. You're brainwashing him into worshiping an imaginary person, meaning a false god. And that false god resembles the oppressors that had put us in captivity and put these traditions in our households. So you're not looking at the knowledge of the end result that's causing you to be destroyed as a people. "And he," meaning the Heavenly Father, "overthrow the words of the transgressor." How does he overthrow your words? Because just like you like to overthrow and say things like it's for the children, then the Heavenly Father makes sure that your children and you yourself do not prosper. That's how he overthrows you. You start looking and you're like, "Why am I so poor? Why am I in a financial situation? Why God is not hearing my prayers? Why this is happening? Why that?" The reason why is because you have a big mouth and you want to go and say things that are not right, instead of listening attentively to what the Heavenly Father told us. Let's go from there to the book of Exodus, because we have to realize that we have an effect on future generations. Not only on ourselves, but on future generations. In the book of Exodus, where the Most High gave us the Ten Commandments, look what he said to our people in Exodus chapter 20. He said here in verse 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." So that means the crosses that are in your home. That means the images that you believe are of Christ or Mary, whether they're white or black, it doesn't matter. You're not to make unto you any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. So you might be saying, oh, you know, I'm going to make an image and worship this eagle or worship something that is in heaven, like in outer space. It says, or that is in the earth beneath, or something that was on earth, whether it be man, whether it be a woman, whether it be a beast, or that is in the waters under the earth. Like some of our people put in the back of their cars fishes and think that a fish symbolizes Christ. It doesn't. That symbolizes a false god that is very ancient, that the Bible even speaks of, which is called Dagon. If you see a fish symbol with the word Jesus in the middle of it, that's dealing with idolatry. That's dealing with what we're reading right here, things that we should not do. Now, how many times do you find our people actually thinking that they're going to get blessings by buying images? So you have these places called botanicas and stuff like that, and they go and buy a Buddha to put in their house. They buy these crosses and things that they pray to help them financially and to get out of trouble and things like that. That's not going to help you. That's going to curse you. That will bring curses into your house. Plain and simple. The Bible actually tells you that in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. But we're not going to go there because we want to make sure you understand that this is not for the children. Look what it does to your children. It says in verse 5, thou shalt not bow thyself to them. So you don't have to physically bow. But if your mind is submitting to the ways and the customs and serving these things, then you are actually bowing down to it. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. What do I mean, no serve them? Look at every wicked holiday you celebrate. Every wicked holiday you celebrate, it is not about the children. The Christmas tree, how does that have to do with the children? It has nothing to do with the children. The decorations have nothing to do with the children. You're spending money, financial resources, to actually bow down and serve the idol, the image that is in your head. You're buying decorations of what you thought is Christ as a baby, and Mary, and Joseph, and the barn animals. And here it is, it has nothing to do with your children being able to enjoy the wealth or the financial resources or the things that you want to give them. It has nothing to do with that. You're actually serving an idol. You are buying things for an imaginary person. And not only you do that for Christmas, you do that for many other holidays. Many other holidays. For example, some of you think that Mother's Day and Father's Day might be good, but you're not really doing it for your mother and father. Your mother and father don't get the honor that they should 365 days. You are in fact doing it for who? For the false god that is the mother god that the Greeks and the Romans worship. For the false god that is what? The father god. What about in Easter? What does the eggs and the coloring and the decorations that you're putting up have to do with your child? Nothing. So what I'm telling you is that you're actually wasting money that could be used wisely, that could be used for actually getting your kid things, or it could be used to save up for the future generations. But here it is that instead you're putting yourself into debt. Oh man, I don't got enough money for this tree. I put it on the credit card. Oh man, I don't got enough money to do this and to do that. Put that also on the credit card. Oh man, you know what? I got to make sure that I get some decorations. Put that on the credit card. Or spend your money that's in your bank account, put it on the debit card, and now your bank account looking zero, and you're like, damn, how am I going to make it work? Man, you know, I'm struggling. I'm going to have to skip lunch this week and things like that because of ridiculous tradition that you are trying to follow, which is giving something to an idol. Think about it. Half of the money probably is going into your decorations, your tree, all these things that are not necessary, which is going to end up being thrown out a few days later. You might try to keep the Christmas tree up as long as you can, but you know that It does not bring any value. It does not bring any spiritual wealth. It doesn't bring no blessing. Your child is not learning anything from it. What you're doing is actually throwing money away, literally throwing money away. And if it doesn't catch on fire, you know what I'm saying? You made it through with bills. So when we read on in the scriptures, it says here, "Thou shalt not bow thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." This is why sometimes you find people that bought Christmas trees and they end up having their house burned down. Now they lost everything because of a stupid tradition that has nothing to do with Christ. The Heavenly Father is a jealous God. Have you ever seen a man that is jealous because his wife went and committed adultery, dealt with another man? Have you ever seen anybody jealous of another person? It makes a person angry. It gives them rage where they want to do harm to that person that they're jealous of. So like a man that finds his wife in the bed with another man, there's been times when dudes have killed the man and the woman because of the rage that they ended up having. So the Heavenly Father is not a wicked, false God. It's not an idol. The Heavenly Father is a person that has feelings like us. We have feelings because we were made in His image. How do you think you will feel if you provide everything that a person has? Their clothes, their food, their well-being, their home. And here it is that they go and give credit to someone that is not you. So let's say you're the father, and you're the one providing your children their sneakers that are expensive, their shirts, their pants, the dresses, and you're providing them their food and their place to live, but they call somebody else father. Or let's say you, mom, that have these jobs that are trying to provide for your kids because you're having difficulty, maybe your husband doesn't make enough, or you're single, and your kid goes and say that somebody else is feeding them, that somebody else is the one putting the clothes on their backs. Wouldn't you be upset? Here it is that you're working hard for them and they're giving someone else credit. Well, guess what? Why don't you get upset when it comes to these wicked holidays? Because that's exactly what you're teaching them, to not give you credit for the hard work you do. You're telling them to give credit to a false image, to an idol, to a graven image. This is what you're teaching your children. And the Heavenly Father, being just like us, He gets jealous when He provides for all of us and we give credit to an idol, to something that was made by man, that doesn't move, doesn't talk, doesn't do anything. So you're wasting your resources. You're the one causing the financial troubles for your house. You're the one causing the poverty that you have for yourself. And don't get me wrong, I know how people have a hard time finding jobs and things like that, but the reason why they don't get blessings is because of how they live. So as we read on, it says, "I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting." And when He says visiting, it doesn't mean He go clung clung on your door or knock on your door. When He says visiting, that means that He's coming with punishments. "Visiting the iniquity," visiting the sins of the fathers upon the children. So it's not that the Heavenly Father is judging your children because you're doing the wickedness. No, He's judging your children because you're teaching them to be wicked. So what He's saying is, here it is, if your father is wicked, and he teaches you to live in a wicked way, to worship false gods, to do customs and traditions that are not of the Heavenly Father, to give credit to an image instead of the Most High who gives you the blessings, the Heavenly Father will visit that iniquity. How will He visit it? He will make you suffer poverty. He will make you suffer punishments. So the father gets jacked up. He gets judged. But then that iniquity continues with the children because they learned it from the fathers. Because their father said what? Oh, it's for the children. It's for the children. I'm doing it for the children. What you're doing for the children is passing down iniquity, passing down judgment on them. So it says, "Visiting the iniquity upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." And what that means, that the iniquity, or what your proverb, gets passed down to your son. Your son passes it down to his son, and it keeps going. And as long as they continue in that vicious cycle of sin, they're going to continue also in the vicious cycle of being in punishment, being in curses. So it says, to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. By you doing these things, celebrating these wicked days, you're actually showing the Heavenly Father that you hate him. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. But who gives mercy? Just like we read in the book of Proverbs. He that is of a pure heart, he will receive grace. The king, meaning Christ, will be his friend. So here it is that you have to understand the effect that you're having on your children by saying it's for the children and then implementing what society and this world has deemed as the days of celebration. Because how come you go so hard when people tell you to celebrate the holidays of God? You go, nah, Christ did away with that. Christ did away with that. I don't need to celebrate that. That was for back then. Okay, Christ did away with that, but how come you're celebrating days that have nothing to do with the Bible now? You replace the commandment of God with your traditions. So that's why the scripture says this in the book of Mark, chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Because the scriptures knows us so well. The scriptures, it shows who we are. Like when you read in the scripture, you could see that it's our people that did these things. So in the book of Mark chapter 7, Christ said to them in verse 6, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. Why are they called hypocrites? Because you're going to do away with the commandment of God and set up your own? That makes no sense. He said, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips. So you're saying Christ, 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 Lord, 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 you know, Christ is my Lord and Savior. I love Christ. Oh, praises be to God. Oh, glory go to God. On this Thanksgiving meal, we're going to give thanks to God. No, God didn't ask you to do any of that. It didn't come from God himself. It came from a man-made tradition to keep you oppressed, to keep you with a certain mindset, to keep your children learning to be wicked. So, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me. The Moses says, for nothing that you're worshiping me. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What do they teach? Not the commandments of God. Teaching the doctrines, the traditions. Teaching the commandments, because that's what it is. You're following a commandment that was established by man. And when does this commandment start? It started in the plantation. It started in way back then when they try to make it seem like we treating you good this day, ye slaves. We celebrating it and you celebrating it too. So that we will give up the Most High's days and think that we're gaining something by doing what the slave master taught us. What you're actually doing is what? For laying aside the commandment of God. You put away the commandment of the Heavenly Father. You hold the tradition of men.